Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hello and welcome to Five Rounds, the podcast that has got the cardio for the Deepwater Championship round. I am Mags, and after 2 weeks off of UFC action, UFC is back, and it is back with an absolute bang. I've just finished watching Fight Night, Anthony Lionheart-Smith taking on Ryan Spann. Before we get to the main card though, let's quickly run through this jam-packed prelim show. So we started with Hannah Golder picking up the first round sub in the women's flyweight division against Emily Whitmire. We then got a draw in the bantamweight division. Gustavo Lopez and Hilaire Alateng fighting out for the 15 minutes. Then back to another first round finish. Carsten Harris getting the first round knockout against Impa Kasangangane. I keep butchering his name every time he comes up on the card. But yeah, that was in the welterweight division. Decision in the women's flyweight division with Erin Blanchfeld getting the victory over Sarah Alpar. Another decision, this time in the men's bantamweight division. Montel Jackson getting the rub against Brandon Jenkins. Going into the women's bantamweight division, and we get another decision with Raquel Pennington back to winning ways against Pane Kianced. And then the feature prelim saw another decision with Tafon and Chukwi getting the win over Mark Rodriguez. So going on to this main card, we had six fights on this, and we opened with one of the more exciting fighters in recent UFC history, with Joaquin Buckley coming into this fight with a 3-1 record after that some highlight reel knockouts, taking on Antonio Arroyo, who has looked really impressive in his time in the UFC, but he's unfortunately still winless, and leaves this fight winless as well, which is a real shame for him, because I think that in the first round especially he landed some really big shots. He got Buckley onto the floor quite a couple of times, was able to land a switch kick beautifully. It was a very kick heavy round for Arroyo, landing some really big shots, really using his heart and his reach advantage to frustrate Buckley in the first round. Buckley landed some decent shots, was able to get Arroyo to the ground for a second or two, but coming towards the end of the first round, he wasn't able to get that takedown, and it ended up being stuffed. Buckley changed his game plan up though for the second round, landing some more shots, landing more head kicks of his own, bigger punches. Arroyo really kind of he almost struggled to deal with the tenacity of Buckley in the second round. Still landing some of his own head kicks, but the work that Joaquin Buckley's team and his cornermen did in kind of analysing Arroyo and able to feed that information to Buckley really paid dividends, because he was able to change up his game plan on the fly using the information that Joaquin Rodriguez, his head coach, gave him to counteract Arroyo. Arroyo was telegraphing his head kicks. And the corner was able to spot that and feed that information back to Buckley. So Buckley kind of took the impetus in the fight going into the third round, and he quickly finished it off, landing some head kicks, goes for the takedown, was sprawled a little bit. But as he came out of the sprawl, he landed a nice right hand. Got some clinching up against the fence, Then Buckley landed a big right as Arroyo tried to land a punch to a knee to the body. Arroyo drops to the floor. Buckley follows in swarms, and the referee, Mark Smith, has no option but to call the fight off, and a good victory there for Joaquin Buckley. Another one of those highlight reel fights for him. So then going into the second fight on the card, we had Tony Gravely and Nate Manez. These guys were... You will very rarely see a fight that is as dichotomic in the two rounds as this one. Tony Gravely absolutely dominated Nate Manez in the first round. Every time that Manez was trying to get shots off, Gravely was one step ahead, landing some big inside leg kicks, landing some big uppercuts, getting the takedown. Wasn't able to really keep the fight on the ground for too long, but he was just scoring point after point after point. Going towards the end of the first round, Gravely gets another takedown, and he's just absolutely pounding on Nate Manez. It's just brutal shots, and Gravely is just unable to get the finish as the klaxon sounds for the end of the first round. But it was such a dominant first round for Gravely. You would think he would come out and have that kind of attitude of putting this fight to bed. Not so, because in the second round, whilst Gravely did start the pressure quickly, aiming to do, as I said, to put this fight away, Manez tries to clinch to slow the shots down. He quickly kind of recovers and is able to shake the cobwebs, lands a few jabs of his own, and then lands a beautiful right hook, which rocks Gravely, knocks him to the floor, and Manez is able to rush in and get the ground and pound that he needed to pick up the victory. So a great comeback victory, very reminiscent of Pat Barry or Chet Congo, where he was absolutely dominated in the first round. But that keeps Nate Manez's unbeaten record in the UFC going now, bumping his numbers up to 3-0. On to the third fight on this main card, and it was a bit of a blood feud, a lot of animosity between the two fighters. We had Christos Giagos and Armin Sarukian in the lightweight division. Armin Sarukian looking to really kind of push his way into the upper echelons of the lightweight division, and Christos Giagos, kind of a journeyman now in UFC, pretty much sharing wins and losses as he goes, but certainly a good test for someone like Sarukian. But like I said, there was a bit of bad blood going into this fight. Sarukian said he was looking to finish Giagos in the second round after wearing him down in the first round, and to be honest, he didn't even need that second round. He quickly came out in the first to get control of the centre of the octagon, lands a quick kind of counter punch from Giagos, which is then like I said countered by Sarukian. They end up both hitting each other at the same time, but whilst they go down, Giagos ends up with the takedown, ends up on top, no kind of real groundwork, and they quickly get back to the feet, and then on the way up, Sarukian lands a massive left, which drops Christos Giagos. And then again, pretty much like in the previous fight, he senses the blood in the water, and he goes in and rushes to rein in the ground and pound. Herb Dean gives Christos plenty of time to fight back, but eventually he has to come in and stop the unanswered punches, and Sarukian picks up a very, very impressive first round KO and really kind of pushed to get into the top 10 of the lightweight division. So after three brutal and very different finishes in the first three fights on this card, we start to cool off a little bit in terms of the finishes, certainly, but not in terms of the action. So we then go into the women's flyweight division, Ariana Lipska taking on Mandy Baum, and a massively dominant performance for Ariana Lipska. All the way through all three rounds, she was in control of this fight, was very good defensively, able to block the majority of the shots from Mandy Baum whilst landing her own really cool quick combinations. Baum found some success early on with the takedowns and the body triangles. But when it came to switching those positions on the floor, and Ariana Lipska certainly had the advantage and was able to land a hell of a lot of strikes and ground and pound. The shots that she was hitting just had just so much sting to them, and they were coming from every part of the body, from the feet to the knees to the fist to the elbows. Ariana Lipska was just peppering Mandy Baum with shots, and that's props to Mandy Baum for having the heart and the chin to not be finished, because there were a couple of times in this fight where some of these shots could have really done damage, but Mandy certainly gave her all. Unfortunately, she met an Ariana Lipska who was certainly on the rise, certainly wanting to make a push for perhaps a title shot here in the flyweight division. And all the way through the second round, again, it was very much like the first round, where Lipska was just first to each shot, was able to avoid the majority of her Baum shots and land plenty of her own. The third round was probably the most aggressive from Lipska. She landed some big shots, some huge leg kicks. She was able to get Baum to the floor, landing some huge ground and pound. The referee was telling Baum that she had to fight back, and luckily for Baum, she was able to grab hold of Lipska, work her way back to the feet, and keep her in guard. Lipska eventually breaks away, allows Baum to stand back up. But as soon as she did, she instantly took it straight back down to the ground and was working from half guard. Lipska again lets her back up, almost like a lion playing with a gazelle before deciding to land that fatal blow. The fatal blow didn't end up coming as the klaxon ended, as the two ladies were trying to duke it out in the middle of the octagon. But like I said, this was a very, very dominant performance by Ariana Lipska. Moves her closer and closer to a potential shot for that heavyweight, for that flyweight title. Going into the co-main event, and this was a make or break fight for both these guys, for Ion Cutelaba and for Devin Clark here in the light heavyweight division. Both guys been in the UFC for quite a while, not really able to get much in the way of momentum. In fact, Cutelaba was on quite a bad losing streak going into this fight, so this was pretty much make or break for this guy, and what a performance he eventually put on. Again, kind of like the Lipska and Baum fight, this went to the judges, but again, like that, it was very, very dominant for one fighter, and that was Ion Cutelaba. Devin Clark started pretty well, went for a takedown straight away, gets Kutalaba down, but it was quickly back to the feet and up against the fence. Kutalaba was able to kind of posture away and landed a huge knee on the way out. Clark threw a leg kick. Kutalaga replied with a big kick to the body, and after a miss from a head kick, Kutalaga steps in, lands a knee, and was able to stalk Clark around the cage, landing huge shots. There was one what landed just behind Devin Clark's ear, which drops him to the floor. Kutalaba rushes in, gets some ground and pound, but Clark is able to hold on, limit that damage, and get back to his feet. Kutalaba drags Devin Clark back down to the canvas, landing some huge ground and pound. The referee looks like he's going to stop the fight, but unfortunately for us as viewers, and more fortunately for Devin Clark, the klaxon sounded and the round ended. But such a dominant performance for Kutalaba in that first round, and he followed it up with a just as dominant second round, landing some huge lefts. Took a couple of body shots, body kicks and punches, but was able to transition those into a takedown. Gets on full mound. Kutalaba got hit with a couple of short punches from the bottom, but he started then just raining down with those elbows. Clark was able to defend well. Kutalaba keeps hold of the full mount door as Clark tries to wriggle his way out. He was able to get back to his feet though, and Kutalaba goes straight back to the clinch, drags Clark back down to the ground, and again this. Another time when the bell saves Devin Clark from being finished. Going into the third round, and we actually get a little bit of a delay in the start of the round because the doctor wanted to check on Devin Clark's lower teeth. He had a massive hematoma swelling over his eye, and it was assumed that the doctor was in to check on that, but it was actually because Kutalaba's pretty much all of the of his bottom set of teeth started were wobbling. He took some huge elbows, and they've definitely done some damage. He will definitely be looking to be booking a dentist appointment in the very very near future. But the doctor agrees that Clark is fit and well enough to fight on. Clark straight away goes to try and take Kutalaba down. Interesting tactic when you've been dominated for two rounds on the ground, for you to try and get the takedown. He's not successful in doing that, but Kutalaba decides he would try a takedown of his own, and he was successful, unfortunately, for Devin Clark. Clark didn't take a lot of damage this time down round though, and was able to get back to his feet with pretty much no problems, but he was held in the clinch, and after a little bit of scuffling and scrambling against the fence, Kutalaba again just is able to drag Devin Clark back down to the floor pretty much at will. Kutalaba is quickly into full mount again, just about 2 minutes of the fight to go. Devin Clark is able to shake him off though, gets the fight back to the feet, but this doesn't last long. Clark eventually does get his own takedown, lands a few punches in Kutalaba's guard, tries to flurry in the last few seconds, but Kutalaba just clinches and holds Clark down until the final klaxon goes. And the judges' scores come in, and one judge gave a 10-8 round, but essentially all three judges gave the result to Ion Kutalaba. So a good victory for him in the light heavyweight division. So here we go with our main event, Anthony Lionheart Smith, perennial title contender, being almost kind of disrespected recently in terms of the perception that he only fights older guys and that he's he always loses to the young and up and comers, and something that Ryan Spann has kind of been alluding to. So there was a little bit of animosity between the two fighters. Ryan Spann obviously has had some great victories recently, really looking to push forward and go for the title shot. Anthony Smith wanted to get back to the title shots. So there was no touch of the gloves at the start. Very kind of like acrimonious between the two. But this fight did not last long. Smith had a point to prove, and prove it he did. He lands a low kick for the first shot. Spann lands a jab of his own. He starts stalking Anthony Smith. Smith swings and misses on a big punch, which gives Ryan Spann the opportunity to get a body lock. Carried Smith over to his own corner so he could get tutelage from his corner men whilst being able to damage Anthony Smith. But Smith is able to break away. Lands a big punch that rocks Ryan Spann. Spann is lucky to survive. He takes a lot of abuse and a lot of damage, but he's able to keep his composure, survive. Smith goes for the armbar, but Ryan Spann rolls through it and is able to get back to the feet. Go back to the strike, and again Smith lands another shot, and this time Spann isn't able to shake this one off. He goes down to the mat. Smith goes for the ground and pound, gets the back, looking to get a submission, flattens out Ryan Spann, locks in the rear naked choke. Ryan Spann had no other option but to tap out, giving Anthony Smith the first round sub. And then after the fight, we see kind of a bit of a standoff between the two guys. Anthony Smith very audibly shouting Ryan Spann to start showing him some respect. So we get the cornermen coming in and referees and officials kind of holding the two apart. Eventually it was all handbags at 10 paces. Ryan Spann comes over, shakes Anthony Smith's hands, they hug it out. Anthony Smith, in the post-fight interview with Michael Bisping, saying that he's sick of the mindset of that Anthony Smith is a gatekeeper. Anthony Smith is someone who fights the older people, and he called out someone else who has been very vocal about his thoughts on Anthony Smith, Alexander Rakic, someone who is meant to be, or is said to be, holding off for a potential title fight. Anthony Smith called him out, and Alexander Rakic answered straight away via the medium of Twitter, said he would be more than happy to fight Anthony Smith in December. So looks like we've got a future headline fight booked with Anthony Smith. Hopefully, if he gets a good call from the doctors and doesn't get a long-term suspension, hopefully we will be able to see that in the future. So that is Fight Night, Smith versus Spann, UFC Vegas 37, etc., etc., all wrapped up and in the books. And it is the first UFC in a 10-week run where we'll be having UFC every weekend. Next weekend, we are back with the number pay-per-views, and it's a double title match and also the return of a legend in MMA. So we have UFC 266, Alexander Volkanovski taking on Brian Ortega for the featherweight title, which is co-main event with Valentina Bullet Shevchenko taking on Lauren Murphy, and the return of Nick Diaz against Robbie Lawler. So tune in next week for that. You can follow me on the social medias at Podfather Mags. Follow my absent co-host Carlos at Kurtbait_Carlos. The poor guy's burning the candle at both ends with studying and work, so unfortunately he was unavailable today. But you can also follow the show at Five Rounds Pod. Definitely check out the amazing networks that this show is a part of at Visionaries Global Media, at The Chair Shot, and right here on Radio Techers, where there is multiple amazing content from multiple amazing creators. So definitely go and check out everybody else who we have the pleasure of working with. But that is all from me, and that is the end.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.